2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. It is a pleasure to have you with us. Hour number two and the final one for the program each and every week. Tim Hughes along with Russ Smith from Sky Call.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Feeling good. Got an hour under our belt and we're raring to go.
Yeah, as always. Yeah. Navadoskus is here. We were mentioning at the top of the show that it's back to school for you already, right. Even though the kids aren't there, right?
Right. Monday morning, when I wake up, I will have kids in those desks ready to go, ready to learn.
And you're excited, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't like going back to work, obviously. I love the summer break. But the best part of the kids are awesome. It's the reason you come back.
And you've had such a boring summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't complain. This summer goes, you know, it's in the top five summers of all time for sure.
I was going to say, I don't want to hear any complaints over there after watching some of your posts on Facebook throughout all of this. Look, I wanted to make connection with Faith Jolly from the Division of Wildlife Resources. We mentioned it this morning in our news of the week, this bear attack that happened here in Utah down in the Moab area. And just wanted to flush it out a little bit. We always talk about bear safety.
Yeah.
But this one has even the experts scratching their heads a little bit because it didn't seem like there was much to attract this bear that we know of.
Oh, I think he just stumbled upon them.
Well, you would think bears stumble upon tents and campers all the time, but they don't go in and end up engaging with, you know, the humans on the other side of the canvas.
Was it a 2-year-old bear, was it?
Well, let's find out. Faith is on the line with us this morning. Hi, Faith.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. This was the Dewey Bridge Campground, which I understand is right along the Colorado River, correct?
It is, yeah. And you know, this one was kind of unusual because our Bureau of Land Management representatives that we talked to that manage this campground had said they haven't really ever had bears in this area. So it was kind of just an unusual incident all around.
But, Russ, you've sent sat phones down to the Colorado a lot in years past, and they do tell us about bears. Maybe not
bears
in this particular spot.
I've had personal experience on the green through Desolation Canyon. There's a pretty big bear population there.
Maybe it's the green I'm thinking about.
Yeah, the green's got bears. We've had bear attacks on the green. That's where they send all the bad bears, is my understanding. They put them on a raft up at Flaming Gorge and send them down river.
Dewey, it looks deserty to me.
There's not much there.
Yeah, it's a great place. But, yeah, it's pretty deserty.
Yeah, and they think, you know, it was probably because it was kind of along the river. You know, that's a big water source for bears. And the victim was not in a tent. And so they think that may have also been part of, you know, may have contributed to the incident. But, yeah, they sounded like everybody did everything right, you know, keeping their food bear-proof. And so it does, you know, it does seem kind of like a more unusual incident.
But even if your food is bear-proof, we had coolers in our boats. That we had it one cooler for trash, but the coolers were closed, but you could still smell it.
You know? They want your toothpaste and your backpack.
They were in digging through the cooler, throwing cans out. I thought it was kids initially.
I think this bear, in my personal opinion, he just stumbled and go, "What's this in my way here? What is that? Oh my gosh, that's a human."
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of from what our biologists that responded were saying, the boy, you know, just kind of woke up to this bear, kind of gnawing on his head, you know, and he didn't really know what to do, so kind of played dead, and the bear kept chewing, and then finally just kind of wandered off. Mm. And so then he, you know, he once it kind of backed away, he got up and started yelling and scared it the rest of the way off. But, yeah, just kind of an unusual incident, yeah.
You know, to our listeners, if it's a black bear, and obviously this was, you don't play dead, you fight back. That's grizzly bears you play dead to, yeah.
You know, you got to keep in mind that area is adjacent to the La Salles. And the Salles are beautiful, tall mountains with lots for bears, a lot of food for bears. Yeah. That's what I'm trying
food
to say.
Source.
So maybe this one got kicked out.
Well, two-year-old bear, he's on his own. He's looking around for a place to make.
Yeah, and I guess, Faith, we're lucky that this wasn't a bigger bear, right?
Yeah, and you know, he did say that. He said it was a pretty small bear. Our biologist had estimated maybe about 2 years old. Mm. So it is, you know, probably it had a better outcome because it was a little bit smaller of a bear. But, yeah, we were glad that he eventually was able to scare it off and so that things weren't worse. We have gotten reports from the family. You know, he is doing okay.
Oh, good, good.
Taken to the hospital, treated and released, and they think he'll make a full recovery. And we did actually just last night get results back from the necropsy. Yeah, and it tested negative for rabies.
Good. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, Navi's had a situation like this. It's not a direct correlation, but it is a situation where you've been to Alaska out there in the wilds many times, many years, and bears just walk on by. We had one walk right through the campground when we were there.
All the time.
But you had a year where it turns out you set up tents or put boats in his path to the river to do his fishing, and that did upset him.
Right. Yeah, he pretty much bit our cooler, popped our rafts, but he got up on top of him, the 1,100-pound bear.
Started jumping on him.
But look, honestly, the pest bears are black bears. Yeah, they're going to get through your stuff. And some of them are audacious. They think they want to eat you.
They are the hoods in the woods, that's for sure.
And so you want to fight a black bear where a grizzly bear, he doesn't want anything to do with you, and he thinks you as a threat, he'll kill you. And if once he thinks he's killed you, he'll walk away. But a black bear, they're kind of curious.
Yeah.
They're too curious.
Two-year-old would be, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. That bear's wandering around.
Did he break skin?
Yes.
Okay.
So it took a kind of a chunk out of his left cheekbone and then also kind of ripped off the top of his left ear.
I'll tell you, we were talking about this on Utah's Morning News all week, Amanda and I, and keeping tabs on, you know, developments. It's sad, I think, to see the pushback from people. And in one sense, I get it. But on the other sense, look, this bear now has interaction with humans. We always talk about a fed bear being a dead bear. And once it's had that interaction, it's at risk later, and so are humans. But anytime you have to euthanize an animal, it's not something that the Division of Wildlife takes lightly or looks forward to, certainly.
Right.
Matter of fact, I was reading the statistics, Faith, that since 2014, there have been a reported 255 bear incidents, but less than 20% resulted in euthanization. There's been some people out there on social media that were having a fit because they didn't feel like any way there was a way to guarantee this was the bear.
Sure, and you know, that's one thing that we try to tell people. You know, we take this very seriously, you know, and they felt very, very confident. You know, the bear was located less than a mile from where the incident happened, you know, matched the same color, size, you know, paw prints, you know, the tracks, matched some photos that they'd taken of a bear in that same area earlier in the week, you know, so they feel very, very confident this was the same bear. And that is one thing we try to tell people, you know, this, you know, we're not just out euthanizing bears all the time. These are just the incidents that are the most widely publicized because they're usually associated with some kind of a, you know, injury or, you know, thing like that. And so the majority of the time we are relocating these animals. Yeah. When it's a nuisance situation.
You think it could have been sunscreen on the kid? I mean,
I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's tough to speculate.
Everybody's slathered with sunscreen there along the river.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Anything, shampoo, who knows?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But what you know, tell the listeners how many bears we have as far as killed annually by permit. There's a notion we don't have a lot of bears in Utah, and that's really not that accurate. Do you have numbers on that?
You know, I don't have our harvest numbers, but we do have, you know, we have healthy populations, and that's one thing that we're kind of thinking is attributing to this, you know, this year there's kind of been an increase of some of these human bear encounters. And so, you know, and we're telling people it is because there is a larger population, you know, recently. And so it's not like, you know, we're, like I said, we're not out killing all the bears, you know. We're making sure they're being managed where they maintain that healthy population, but also we want to make sure that people are safe.
Well, I particularly wanted to make that point this morning because I saw some of that social media pushback. The other thing is, good news this morning, the takeaway from our little chat here is that the boy's recovering, and that the autopsy on the bear itself shows no rabies, so that's good news, too. Yeah.
Yep. We're glad to hear that.
All right, Faith, thanks for all you do.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Faith Jolly with the Division of Wildlife Resources. Going to take a break here, guys. When we come back, we'll make the first of two connections with Bob Grove. I'm affectionately calling him now our Southern Utah correspondent on the show. But he was posting pictures yesterday of a trip up to the top of the Tushers and ran into some billy goats up there. So we'll do that next. Don't go away.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, guys, I was hoping to make contact with Bob Grove for a couple of segments today, and this morning in particular, because yesterday he was posting pictures from his Thursday visit to the Tushers. Russ, it's pronounced Tushers.
Tushers, yeah. That's what I said before.
The Tusher Mountains. I guess you know who the locals are when, or who the locals aren't when they say Tushers, right?
Yeah, they'll know immediately you ain't from these parts.
Yeah, it's kind of like every other place in Utah, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm from Hooper, not Hooper.
In my area, if you say hurricane, I live in the hurricane area. If you say hurricane, they know immediately you're from out of town.
Yeah.
We
can do two segments just on Utah names, so might as well get out of that.
Like Thule and
Weber State.
There you go.
Guys, you can see the pictures I put up on the screen over there. But you found some snow. You were up pretty high.
Yeah, we, the Tushers are the third highest mountain range in the state, and we were up over 12,000 feet. The sign up at the top of Mount Delano Peak says 12,169 feet, but it felt higher.
Yeah.
You found some mountain goats. That means you were up in the tough stuff.
Billy goats. We were up above Timberline.
I'm being corrected here.
I know.
They're mountain goats, yeah.
Yeah.
You're just joking about billy goats.
Yeah, well, they just call them billies.
Yeah, these are the white ones with the black horns.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've been wanting to see them for a while. You know, I've seen them before, but it's been a number of years, and I've heard there's been a lot of, they've just been out a lot out on the south slopes of the Delano, and so we went up there yesterday, and we saw two good herds.
Once you get up there, they're pretty easy to spot, aren't they?
They look like snow.
Because you're up above timberline, so they're in the mountain meadows up there, up near the top. They like to forage up in that tundra-like area just below the peaks there, and so they're really easy to spot.
Now we just went to Mexico.
That's Russell's Ring of Fire ringtone that is, I think it makes more appearances on this show than anyone guessed.
I put it on buzzer here.
Holy cow. That's just reminding him he needs to be awake because 30 minutes ago we started the show. I know. Was this just a sightseeing thing for you, or is somebody scouting for a hunt? What was going on?
No, this was just, I have my hiking buddy. Every week we go somewhere. And so it's hot down here in the southern part of the state. And so we've been going into the high country this summer up near Bryan Head, Cedar Breaks. So we've been wanting to make this trip up into the Tushers and go find the goats. And it's, it was a perfect day. It was 73 degrees when we got there and never got any warmer than that. And, boy, I tell you, the views, if you haven't been up there, you know, you got Mount Holly and Baldy and Belknap and Delano, which is the tallest peak. It's not the most impressive. The most more impressive peaks are Holly, Baldy, and Belknap. But the views from up there are just phenomenal. I mean, we were up on top looking out to the east. We could see Thousand Lakes Mountain, mm-hmm. Boulder Mountains to the east. We could see Wheeler Peak in Nevada. I mean, just really distant views were really amazing.
Bob.
He's there. Go ahead. Bob. Just ask your questions.
Well, it's Bob.
Go Bob. Hey, you know that there's a state highway or it's a county highway that goes over the top. That's probably one of the highest highways that we have going over the top of that and into Puffer Lake.
Yeah, it is. Well, 153 is the highway that comes up out of Beaver, and then when you get to the top, there's roads you can take, you know, graded and dirt roads to go up over the top. I think it's part of the Paiute ATV trail system, and we took the road that goes up to Delano, and then it goes up over the ridge and down to the other side and eventually works its way down into Marysville and where else? I can't think of the – oh, Hoover's down below.
Yeah.
So your access point was where exactly?
We came up from Beaver up 153, and then we took the Big John Flat Road just off of 153. I believe it's Forest Service Road Route 123, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but – that we took that road up to Poison Spring, and from there we just made our way up. The trailhead to go out to Delano is just short of making it all the way to the top over to the other side. And it's not a long hike. It was only about 3 miles round trip. I think it was a mile and a half going out and about 10 miles coming back.
So you could drive quite a ways up there, and the hike from there on wasn't bad.
Yeah, and you're climbing you gain about 1,600 feet in elevation in the hike. I think it's 1,650. And you're up there so high, boy, I tell you, you really feel the elevation quickly when you're climbing. It knocks the wind out of you. But we didn't have to go that far before we spotted our first goats, and we were close to them. We got real close to them, and then they jumped over the rim onto these craggy cliffs, which is really cool the way they make their way through there so quickly.
Yeah.
And then we were able to spot another herd up near the peak. And I'm going to have a lot more pictures I'll be posting. I mean, I went crazy with my camera, so I'll have a lot more to post.
There's some great ones on there.
Yeah, the Billies, they're not that afraid. They'll let you come quite close.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they did. They really did let us come real close to them.
I would just get one into the van.
don't go there. I was thinking, though, once you get on them, once you can get within viewing of them, I would imagine it's fun just to sit there probably for a while and watch them.
We did. We just sat down. We found a rock to sit on. We just sat there and watched them. We took a little bit of video. I'll be posting that later, too. I'm still editing a lot of stuff, but... yeah, we just enjoyed the view, enjoyed watching the goats. They spooked us once because we thought we were close to them. We were honing in on them, and we couldn't find them anywhere below us. And we were looking. We looked below. They were all bedded down on this big snowbank, and they kind of blended right in with it.
Yeah.
So we didn't see them immediately, but they were right there below us.
Well, wrapping up this segment, we're going to hold you for another one before we finish the show this morning, because I want to hear about your trip to Poison Spring Canyon, too. Tusher's not the most attractive of our mountain ranges here in Utah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I tell you, get up into the tops of those mountains, it's like a... And I'm sorry, anybody who has any difference with Colorado, I call it a splash of the Colorado Rockies.
Okay.
Really? Because these mountains are gorgeous up at the top peaks. They're just beautiful. Also, you can see Eagle Point Ski Resort from up there on top as well. So it's really a beautiful drive up, and the scenery is amazing.
And everything's staying much greener this year. The high country is really green.
I was so amazed how green it is. I mean, the wildflowers are still in abundance. We had a super bloom this year everywhere in the high country.
Yeah.
The wildflowers have never been better. But, yeah, extremely green. A lot of snow still up there.
Yeah, right.
Even the billies are just barely started to shed. If you look, they're shedding. You know, they still have patches of their winter coat on them.
Yeah.
I know. I thought that was unusual that they were shedding this late in the season, but right. I guess we had such a prolonged spring. And
exactly.
But yeah, I picked up a big patch of it. I mean, they're just shedding in big patches right now. It's coming off them.
Russ and I have decided we're not going to call them Billies. We're going to call them Bobbies. So the, yeah. the Billies and the Bobbies. The Billy Bobs.
The Billy Bob goats.
Yeah. But the Tushers, not on everybody's radar. I wanted to make sure that we threw that out there for folks. And just found it interesting here as we're halfway through August that we still have snow and they're just now starting to shed some of those winter coats. We've got to take a break. Brian Brown is going to join us from Snowbird on the other side. Another one of your favorite places, Bob Grow. So we'll have... We'll have that conversation with Brian coming up. And then on the other side, I want to hear about this trip to, and I hope I get it right, Poison Spring Canyon. So stay with us. More of KSL Outdoors coming up.